This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey folks, it's Jake Miller from The Drive, and Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 20DRIVE. That's 20DRIVE at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls.
Drive's top five at five.
All right, welcome back. Quitting time on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith back with you. 5 o'clock here on the show this afternoon. We're live today at National Law Rex, sending things back to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, and Jake Miller's got the top five to five.
Yes, sir. Hey. Up first, Tennessee will continue their dominance tonight against Mississippi State at 7 o'clock on the SEC Network. Do you guys think we get the sweep this weekend? I know we all kind of got into the feeling of, okay, let's just get the series. Guys, I want to sweep this one.
I think it all depends on the night. I think they're probably Mississippi State's best chance at getting us. But if our bats are hot tonight, that's the thing. With our pitching, if our bats get hot, we're pretty unstoppable. So, I could see a sweep.
Well, Jake Miller, you know me, and I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. And the past couple of times that I've called for the sweep, it hasn't happened. So, I'm going to reverse psychology this and say that, no, I do not think we're going to get the sweep. I think we drop at least one of the next two games.
And number two, Tennessee adds a 4-star to its basketball program in the form of DJ Jefferson. Originally from Texas, played the last season of his high school career at Minnesota Prep and was originally committed to Tulsa.
Like the pickup for Tennessee, sounds like a really intriguing athlete and a guy that's already 6'5", 190 pounds, probably going to develop. If he hangs out for 4 years with Maddenwald and those guys, you know, they're going to transform him. He's already kind of a freaky athlete and could see him being a guy who can guard multiple positions, can already really put it on the floor, get to the hoop, it sounds like, nice stroke, just a really nice blank canvas for Rick Barnes to paint on and turn into, hopefully, a really productive basketball player here over the course of several seasons in Knoxville.
Hopefully so. And number three, we just told you about someone coming into the Tennessee athletic program. Let's talk about somebody going out. Tennessee wide receiver D'Angelo Gibbs has entered the transfer portal as a graduate transfer. He was a 4-star high school recruit in the class of 2017, but originally had signed with Georgia. Guys, I'm going to say I honestly forgot that he was still here.
Me too. I thought he had transferred a long time ago.
Apparently not.
No. He was that came as a surprise to me as well. I mean, number one, because he got here in what, 17?
Yeah.
So, but I mean, when are we going to see the end of the COVID? The COVID year that all these guys got is really still throws me off. So,
probably not for another year or two.
2023 should be the last year that we have to deal with that.
In football?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Gibbs was, it's just disappointing because you remember he came here. He was a 4-star defensive back that went to Georgia. And so you're thinking when he transferred here, it's like, okay, he's going to be, at the time, Pruitt got him to come here. And you're thinking, well, he's already familiar with the Kirby Saban defensive system, so he's going to be able to slot in. And not only does he never play defensive back, they move positions. He goes to receiver. I think he had some off-the-field issues, and it just never – I guess that's the risk you run when you go to the transfer portal for players. That one did not work out in our favor.
No, and the other thing, Dale Carter's nephew. I just remember how fired up we all were. We were going to have, Nigel and his cousin. and it just never clicked for the kid. So wish him the best. I hope he gets everything together.
Hopefully so. And at number four, Michael Vick, the once dynamic NFL quarterback whose involvement in dogfighting paused a breathtaking career in its prime, has agreed to come out of retirement and join Startup League fan-controlled football.
I speak up for Mike here, man. Do we have to bring up that whole thing every time?
I'm just stating the facts.
You don't have to. I mean, everybody knows that.
It is kind of the first thing you think of when you think of him, right?
Yeah.
But he
had a great career going.
I'm just saying. I feel like the guy, he paid his...
He did.
He paid his debt.
Well, that's the one thing about him. He paid his debt to society. A lot of these other guys have not paid their debt to society.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger.
I would agree. I mean, I think that it's part of his story, and it's the biggest part of his story and very defining to who he is. Not just that his thing with the dogs happened, but the way he responded to it, I mean, I think is admirable. But what does it say? Because he is probably one of the most physically talented quarterbacks to ever play the game. And
absolutely, you know, was.
He just had a terrible thing that he was involved in and paid a huge price for it. I would say an appropriate price, and was able to come back and kind of get it together and make something of his life. So, and now he's going to go and play in the fan. What is it called?
Fan controlled football.
Why don't they call it the fan run league?
I don't know. This is another one where he got hit so hard at one point after he came back that, in his words, he went blind.
Jeez.
On the football field. I'll look it up and see if there's an article about it. But, yeah, I mean, he got rocked to the point where, again, his words, I went blind. I can't remember how long it lasted, but he got, you know, did he take enough hits to the head, Mike?
And number five.
But yeah, go ahead.
A British library said a book checked out more than 60 years ago was finally returned to the facility after being found at another library in Croatia. The library in Croatia received, quote, the found copy of The Loving Couple by Virginia Rowans in a bag, apparently donators left at the library. They discovered the book had been checked out from the Gainsborough Community Library in Ipswich, England in 1952. Levi mailed the book back to its original home with a note explaining the discovery. You guys ever have any overdue books in the library you just never returned?
I can't think of library books, but I might have a couple of Blockbuster videotapes somewhere in a box downstairs.
Oh, I've got, I mean, who do you think you're talking to? I've got Blockbuster tapes. Not only can I not check out books from Knox County Public Library System, I assumed my older brother's identity to get a library card in his name and wrecked his as well.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's pretty low, Bear.
You were probably pretty the guy low at Blockbuster that used a fake ID to get the movies from Blockbuster. And just
I was just that lazy in my 20s, dude. I've got a copy. It's a comedian, Harlan Williams. He had this movie called Rocket Man. All right. One of the funniest movies you'll ever see. I've still got that, and I think Colors. Remember that movie, Russ?
Colors?
Yeah, about the gang. It was like set late 80s, early 90s Los Angeles gangs and the LAPD.
I don't think I've seen
it. Sean Penn, I think, was in it.
Yeah. Maybe ringing a bell. I don't think I've seen it, though.
Yeah. But anyhow, the book thing was bad. My brother, he really never got past it, but.
Oh, it was a game-changing moment for you and your sibling relationship when you wrecked all the things that you've done. I know your brother. All the squabbles that you guys have had through the years, that was the turning point. you destroying his good name with the folks at the Knox County Public Library?
Oh, no, no. This is my older brother.
Oh.
Yeah, no. Dano, no. No, my younger brother, who you do know, I mean, this was just like fair game between us. So, yeah. No, my older brother tried to get me to the mailman. So, I mean, it wasn't that. I mean, we had an interesting sibling rivalry.
So you're a middle child.
Oh, yeah.
That explains so much.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jake. That is the Top 5 at 5 brought to you by National RX, where the Sildenafil special still continues for our listeners only. Save big on the generic form of Viagra, Sildenafil, here at National RX, offered at the unheard-of price of just 50 cents a tablet. You see some of these online retailers charging as much as $3 a pill for similar products. Well, wouldn't you rather pay 6 times less and spend your money with a locally owned and operated pharmacy? Well, you can. It's easy. All you got to do is take your prescriptions right here to National RX in Farragut. Tell them you heard about it on the drive. Just talk to your doctor and have the prescription filled here at National RX in Farragut. Call 865-392-1770 or visit nationalrx.com. And as I said earlier, yes, you can get this delivered, shipped to your door via an e-prescription. Again, go to nationalrx.com and call down here. Talk to one of the friendly pharmacists at National RX, and they will walk you through just exactly how to get that set up. Have it delivered right to you. Again, you have to mention you heard about it on the drive. The number here at National RX is 865-392-1770. We'll go open lines the rest of the way here. Open lines the rest of the way as we finish up a busy and wild week of shows here on Fan Run Radio and The Drive. Tennessee baseball coming up here in less than 2 hours. Vols will be donning the dark mode, black jerseys. Tonight's game, again. We haven't done well.
I'm not big on the dark mode in this sport.
I'm with you. I don't like them.
I mean, as far as alts go, like I like the smoky gray in basketball. I think if we're going to do the dark mode in football, they need to. It still looks amateurish, I guess, for lack of a better word. If you're going to do something, you know, go all the way with it.
Yeah, they. Evidently, they're going to have something completely different this year. I've heard rumors of a chrome helmet.
That, you get me on board with that, especially if it's like orange chrome. Black power tee on it, that'd look pretty cool.
Heard rumors of a chrome helmet and maybe gray uniform. I stopped caring about this stuff. It's not that I don't care. I do. I like talking about it, but you know, at a certain point, I think at some point in the Butch era, might have been when we were getting bludgeoned by Oregon out there at Outson Stadium that year, and it was just like, oh God, what are we doing? What happened? Where it was just like, okay, I don't even care anymore. We can wear pink panties out on the field for all I care.
Yeah. But
just win, baby. To quote the great late Al Davis, just win, baby. Commitment to excellence.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. After listening to that Saban thing, I want to beat him more than anything in the world before I die, man. I want to stick it to the Gumps. We've forgotten how much joy. That's why I know it's not really a rivalry anymore because they punk us every year. But I mean, honestly, I mean, is there anything sweeter than beating those idiots, Russ? It tops get back in the coal mines with Kentucky during basketball.
I mean, it's been so long, I don't even remember. I guess the last time it happened was 06, and I remember I was at that game, and if you had told me when we were walking out of there that we'd be sitting here in the year of our Lord 2022 having not beaten Alabama since that day, I wouldn't have believed it. I wouldn't have known, like, even what to do with that information. Like, you probably could have convinced me that, hey, Saban's going to do really well there, and they're going to run off a string on you. They're going to. And that wasn't even Saban. Now that I think about it, when was the last time? Was it 04 or 06 the last time we beat them?
Thought it was 06.
Can't even remember.
I think we beat him like 17-10.
And that was Shula? Because we haven't beat
Saban. I don't know.
Right? 07 was his first year, and they beat us, the onside kick thing. They had like dudes out because of a book scam or something.
I forgot about that.
We've only beat him the one time. In 2006. Sally, I'm not even joking. Like, I can't even remember what it's like. I mean, maybe it is better than back to the Colts.
It's incredible. I still remember it clearly. You know, the 80s when it happened, when I was like in grade school, or I think maybe middle school. And then in the 90s, when the dam broke with Manning to Kent, and, you know, I think there was a class, it may be T-Fair's class, never lost to him. So, I mean, yeah, it was incredible, man. To smack talk those Gumps. God, I hate Alabama. I just hate him, man. Don't you? Are you just so beat down by him you can't work up hate anymore?
Hate's a strong word. You know I don't like it. It's sports hate.
It's hate for me, man. It's like when Anakin Skywalker was laying there, all legs cut off, burn up, looking at Kenobi in that movie. That kind of hatred. Hate you. I hope they never win another game in any sport.
You don't have any Alabama fan friends.
I don't have what?
You don't have any friends that are Alabama fans?
I mean, I married one, had a kid. I had one. We worked together back in the 90s during the heyday. And I mean, she was like an older sister to me. She graduated from Bama. And like 51 weeks out of the year, we were buddies. I always had her back. So I was working in a school. I was a sit down and shut up guy that sat in the corner. But man, on Alabama week, like, we didn't talk. I mean, I've had a couple friends are just so damn obnoxious, man. And you have to be around, especially if they know you're a Tennessee fan. I don't have a lot of ammunition. Manning, Kent.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of friends, not a bunch, a handful of Alabama fan friends. And like, to me, they're not obnoxious about it. They're very almost like stoic about it. Like it's a foregone conclusion.
I know. And that makes me madder.
Yeah, it is kind of obnoxious, for being honest.
Can't be honest here on the drive. Where can we be
why
honest,
can't you, why can't you be like Tennessee fans and just obnoxious about it and rub it in at every single turn? You never hear any Kentucky fans. You'd be like, oh, you know what? You Tennessee fans are classy. You know, you guys beat us and you just act like you've been there before. It's like, no, we pour salt in the wound. We burn bridges. We act like we're never going to lose again.
We will
just
we will denigrate you as a state and as human beings while we're beating you.
Act as if the fact that our sports team is beating you is some sort of mark upon your character as a human being.
I mean, TJ, the caller TJ is probably one of the nicest guys that's ever called us. And I'm absolutely miserable to that guy, to the point where when I think about it, you know, during the summertime, I feel bad. I'm like, damn, DJ doesn't call us anymore. Maybe I shouldn't have been such a jerk. But then you get in the moment and I don't know, man. It just means more.
Well, there are some Alabama fans. I don't know any of the full on like Feinbaum callers.
Oh, like Legend Feinbaum, and all those ones that have names.
Feinbaum said he's gobsmacked by the Saban-Jimbo feud. Have you ever been gobsmacked by anything? But what does that even mean? That's I don't think I've ever
gobsmacked, stunned. Right, like stunned. I've been gobsmacked a couple of times.
Really? You've been
stunned. Oh, yeah.
I am gobsmacked right now.
I gobsmacked you last January.
You gobsmacked me?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been gobsmacked.
Okay. When I called you at 4 a.m. last January, you picked up the phone and I told you the news. That feeling you had when I told you and the whole world seemed to tilt.
Okay.
That's because you were gobsmacked.
Might have been gobsmacked. It was also early in the morning. I do not do well, even at like 7 a.m., like when I first get out of bed, I can't speak. I can't communicate. Anything before that, yeah, I'll be gobsmacked.
You did pretty good, and that phone call is I'll take the charge for you. And I'll lie for you, Russ. Nah, he didn't do that. He was with me. Better call Saul.
Let's get Josh in here next. Josh, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio.
Hey, guys. My memory of the last time we beat Bama is very specific. October 06, freshman in college, ordered a pizza, got a case of Bud Light with my friends, went to one of their dorms, watched it with my girlfriend and her best friend, who were both huge Bama fans from Alabama. And just that, you know, that feeling of being able to talk smack to someone that you love and care about when your team wins, you can't beat that. It's just amazing.
I watched that game in Huntsville, Alabama, with a bunch of Huntsville Bama gumps. And, I mean, how do you think I behaved when the winning touchdown was caught by a kid that went to Grissom High in Huntsville? They asked me to leave. I'll just leave it at that. It was time for me to go home.
One of my friends was also in the room who's a huge Kentucky basketball fan, but likes to act like he didn't care about football just because they suck. And so, of course, he's rooting against Tennessee. So got to talk some smack with him, too.
'06, man. 26-year-old Dubs. I had no kids, Bear.
No, you didn't.
Still somewhat newly married
back then.
Newly married.
What show were you on? Are you still doing music?
Yeah, I think I just started back at Horn Radio, my second tour of duty at Horn Radio.
God, thank you. Oh, you
were
service.
A DJ?
Yeah, was back, wow. Back once upon a time. I had to pay the bills, man. You know, I had to do what I had to do.
That is a funny thing. Me and Russ did not meet through sports radio. It was
That's
music.
Interesting. I had no idea.
Russ doesn't remember meeting me though.
I don't.
Hi hatted me all these years.
Do you guys think over under 5 years that we beat Bama again?
Oh, man, I'd put it probably 5.5.
Surely. I'll put it at 3.5. If we can get our defense somehow fixed and just be just an average SEC defense, people are going to really start hating Tennessee fans. I think this guy could win a lot of football games.
I think in the next couple of years, I mean, it's got to be some kind of fluke like when South Carolina beat Georgia a couple of years ago and they had no business even being in that game. It's got to be something like that.
Nobody beats Alabama on a fluke. If you go back and look, and you don't have to look, it's not like it takes a lot of research because they haven't lost a whole lot. But Bama, unless it's like in some of those bowl games, I guess, with like Utah, where they just don't care, people very rarely beat them by more than one score. I mean, they're incredibly hard to beat. I mean, they're the best.
Yeah, and when it does happen, I mean, it's always a pretty good or really good ranked team. Or like with this past year, I think A&M wasn't ranked at the time, but they were later. So, I mean, I don't think they've lost an unranked game against a bad opponent since God, who beat them like in Saban's first year, like Miss Southern Miss or one of those teams like that. But I mean, it was just in his first year.
I'm sorry, say that again, Josh.
I think the last time Saban lost to a team that was just not good, you know, unranked, yeah, had no business winning, was like Southern Miss or Louisiana Lafayette or something like that.
No, it was Louisiana Monroe's first year.
That's it.
He lost. He went 6-6 his first year. Of course, one of the six wins was us, and and beat. And that was a year that Tennessee won the East. That was the last year we won the East, and we still lost to frickin' Saban on the year that he lost to Louisiana Monroe.
Oh, I'm kept us out of the Sugar Bowl, didn't it?
I'm getting fully triggered right now.
Yeah. See? Yeah, Alabama. You just forgot about it.
As long as he's there, I really don't see us winning unless he just gets so old that he starts to lose it a little bit, kind of like Joe Paterno or something. If he's like 85 years old.
I mean, Josh, honestly, I think that's what some of the frustration we saw or heard with the statement that he made the other night is, I think he can hear some footsteps. I'm not saying that I'm expecting, you know, Tennessee or anything, but that to me screamed, you know, he knows the talent gap is closing between himself and some of his arch rivals. Now, how long, you know, he's got such a massive advantage that he's built up over the years. How long is it going to be before we can catch him and beat him? I hope it's before he leaves. I want to win over him bad.
I mean, losing to two former assistants in 1 year, I mean, that's maybe he's finally on the decline just a little bit.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe, you know. I'd like to punch his ticket the way we did Bear Bryant. Put him out of the game.
That would be amazing. Well, thanks for taking my call, guys.
That would be pretty cool. Thanks, Josh. That would be pretty cool to be the team that finally was able to. Were we the only ones? That was before my time. I know Tennessee went out on a high note against Bama, but were other teams beating the Bear regularly at that time?
Yeah, I mean, they did. I think they went like 5-5 or something that year, maybe. No, I mean, that's a long time ago. But, I mean, that's the epic, one of the greatest pictures in Tennessee football, that moment. I'll go back and look. Yeah, Tennessee lineman carrying Johnny Majors off the field, and he reached down to and Shake Bryant just looked, he just looked broken. The picture makes me happy.
I will say one thing. Like, it's not that I hate them so much. This goes back to what I was talking about the other thing. I'm just a look in the mirror guy. And the 07 team and whatever we missed out on, we won the East, but still lost a terrible Alabama team coached by Saban. I'm not mad at them about it so much as just mad at Tennant. Like, how could we let that happen? How could Fulmer not have the guys up for that game? How could you not give? I mean, there's no excuse to lose. They're bad to begin with, and then they're missing four of their starters because of some NCAA selling textbook scandal or whatever. Like, I don't even, it's mild by Alabama standards for a off the field scandal. Like, that is all on Fulmer and Cutcliffe and the players on that team.
Right.
Never should have happened. How can you go down to Tuscaloosa to play Alabama and not be 100% dialed in, ready to go?
I don't know.
That's the way I would.
I think part of what really I think with him, if Tennessee fans, think about it. I mean, this is a guy that's been tormenting us for 21 years now.
Well, not just us. I mean, it's like the Spurrier thing.
But man,
beat Florida. Yeah, nobody could beat Florida in the 1990s. Nobody's beaten Alabama in the last
15
years.
But the 2001 SEC championship game,
is
where I feel like it really went sideways. Like, I think that's a great what if moment. What if we don't lose that game? and we get to play in that second.
He's still going to be good. He's still going to – like, yeah, it would have been one more great
– No, I know he is.
Football, but he's still going to take over.
But I wonder what the trajectory of Tennessee would have been, and Fulmer for that matter. That's
right. Really, the drive continues live this afternoon. National RX, 865-546-8200. You want to jump in, take a shot now. 546-8200. Back with more right after this.
The drop.
All right, it's time to find out who's on the docket. Brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the CarWreck Pro attorneys. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk denied a sexual assault claim from a former flight attendant whom the company reportedly paid $250,000 as part of a severance agreement back in 2018. Musk said via Twitter that the story should, quote, be viewed through a political lens. I know people.
I don't think so.
Well, yeah, I don't know about where politics comes in, but I know people will say that his, you know, he's so wealthy that it becomes a certain point where it's cheaper just to go ahead and settle the claim as opposed to litigate it out in court where it can end up costing you more. And I guess I get all that, but I just think, like, if it's me and I absolutely didn't do it and I've got enough money to fight it out anyway, it becomes a point of pride and just, like, I would want to clear my good name.
Oh, especially if you had funds like he's got and money's, you can, yeah, I would grind somebody up and crush them if that wasn't true. I would just bury them under a thousand lawyers writing motions.
Yeah, but then I guess it becomes an invitation for more of that stuff. Like, I just don't know. I never know what to think.
Yeah, I don't know. The strange part to me about it was that there was something in that story involving a horse.
Oh, yeah. He said he would buy her a horse if she did some depraved act on him. Allegedly.
I miss Davey Hudson, Russ. That's all I'm going to say
I'll buy you a horse. Meanwhile, in North Carolina, regulators were wrong, according to a judge, to reject a beer label that featured a silhouette of a naked man standing next to a campfire, according to federal judges. The owners of Maryland-based Flying Dog Brewery argued that the North Carolina Alcohol Beverage Control Commission violated their First Amendment rights by rejecting the label for its Freezin' Season Winter Ale. The commission had said the label was, quote, in bad taste, but later allowed the beer to be sold. Flying Dog proceeded with the lawsuit anyway, hoping to get the regulation struck down.
Well, I mean, was it? It was just a silhouette?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I understand, like, big part of me is big First Amendment guy, obviously. Think anybody should be able to, you know, express themselves, but, I mean, we really need a naked silhouette of a dude standing by a campfire. I mean, what's his?
Yeah, it's a silhouette. I'm trying to imagine. I don't have a picture of it, but how do we know it's
anatomically dude? Correct?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I mean, that's just to me like you're trying too hard to be edgy at that point. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
I'm like. It's not any kind of artistic statement to me.
That is you're looking the docket.
You're looking for a fight, Russ, if you're putting that on there.
Well, you're just making a splash. Stand by the quality of your product. If it's really that good, put together a classy label and go out there and sell it. If you need naked dudes on the side of your bottle, then what does that say about the quality of the product? Not very much, I would say. That is the docket. It's brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the CarWreck Pro attorneys. Check them out online at foxandfarmer.com or call 865-531-9400 to set up a free consultation today. 531-9400. Remember, at Fox and Farmer, they don't get paid unless you get paid. So what do you have to lose? Give them a call. Again, 865-531-9400. Online at foxandfarmer.com. That's Fox and Farmer, the CarWreck Pro attorneys. Russ LeBaire with you for another couple of segments here this afternoon on the show. We do have overtime coming up on many of these fine FanRun affiliates tonight. So we're looking forward to that.
Oh, good. Good to hear Will Stevens and Tucker.
They have graced us with their presence. Barry, you have a Tiger update from the PGA?
Yeah, not good, Bob. Current cut at plus four. Tiger just double bogeyed a par three. So he is now sitting at plus five for the tournament. And is looking, and Tiger's not happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not happy and obviously, gutting it out. I think you got to tip your cap for as much bad stuff people have given him over the years. Some of it warranted. He's had some pretty public kind of displays of dumb behavior. But I think he that's what I was getting at with Haji earlier. I think he really polished his legacy up just the way he's come back to golf and then with this whole deal with that Saudi tour. To me, anyway. I'm not going to say him or anything. Cue the John tweet call.
Jonathan on Twitter says, Georgia has supplanted Alabama as my most hated fan base. Kentucky is not even on the list. That according to Jonathan.
Georgia, I put Georgia in a different category.
We're talking about one thing. How are they in a different category?
I hate them in a different kind of way.
So
I don't know how to make it make sense to you.
It's yeah. I don't think it makes sense to you.
It probably doesn't. It's like I told you, I keep myself in a state of utter confusion. But yeah, I mean, the argument could be made for Georgia. Certainly,
the argument could be made for Florida. I mean,
oh sure.
I think that the argument could be made for Vanderbilt. I mean, there's just all kinds of different ways you could take this. But I think right now, Alabama fans, by far, even with Georgia winning the national championship this past year, Alabama fans, you take things the 10,000 foot view, and Georgia's got one, but Alabama's got how many in the Saban era? Like, we've all lost count, right? I mean, it's
I think it's seven or six in the Saban era.
Six in the Saban era. He's probably going to have another one here, and this week's kerfluffle will probably drive some of that as far as his motivation to strike back. And Florida fans have kind of, they've simmered down a little bit. Have you noticed that since they've gone through whatever they're going through? They're kind of,
yeah,
they're walking around with their chest puffed out quite the way they used to.
No, but it'll puff right back out. And I think that, again, because Alabama's been so dominant for so long, Russ, is that people have forgotten how badly Alabama fans behave when they're down here with the rest of the mortals. They can get real ugly down there. So, go ahead, buddy. I'm sorry.
Let's get Richard in here next. Richard, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys. I absolutely understand hating different rivals in different ways. I hate Georgia different than I hate Alabama and different than I hate Florida and different than I hate Kentucky.
Can you explain how you hate them differently?
I don't understand why you don't. I don't get why you don't understand that.
Well, explain it
here. Because I think me and Richard are on the same wavelength there. Like, for instance, like Ole Miss and football. Like, sit down. Get out of here. And same thing with, there's different levels. Alabama, it's just you really want to beat them because, admittedly, they're better than you. Our biggest rival.
Can you admit that? But see, here's the thing about you. You're just delusional. Like, you can't admit that Georgia is better than Tennessee, even though they have been for quite a long time.
They're scumbags. The only reason this thing is even close to being even, Richard, tell him, is because we've been at our 100 and whatever year lull in college football. The worst ever. And hats off to them. They took advantage of it. But we dominated them.
You know, we've never been troubled by Georgia. It depends on the type and amount of pain we've been through with our rivals. That's what impacts it for me. Like Alabama, I hate their guts, but they at least have a pedigree. Florida's got no pedigree.
They got no pedigree except for the last 30 years they've pretty much owned us. And as far as Georgia goes, I would say you are what your record says you are. And we can't hide behind, oh, Georgia's dominated us when we've been at this historic low any more than Alabama fans can say, oh, the only reason Tennessee ran off 10 in a row against us in the 90s is because we were at an historic low. You still showed up with Tennessee on the side of your helmets just the way they did in Alabama uniforms back then. And you got to own those years.
I'm not arguing that. And, Georgia's better than we are right now and so forth. But one other comment, absolutely agree, Bear. Something happened. It just feels like something happened that night, 2001 SEC title game. The program was never the same after that.
No, it wasn't.
Really,
lost our mojo really, in Atlanta.
Yeah, it really, and that was one of the most painful losses for me, Tennessee football. So, okay, you guys have a good weekend.
Thanks, you too, Richard.
Happy
uplifting
Friday,
trip
Russell.
Down memory road there.
Sorry, I did it. I'm the one who brought it up. So I've thought of a way to explain it to you.
Okay.
I hate every other team in the SEC, just hate them. I never root for the SEC. I always root against them, unless it's Penn State. There's a couple teams that I'll pull for the SEC in a bowl game. But I'm just very – I can point out other fan bases, things I hate about them, specifically every team. It's haterade, man. I root for Tennessee and no one else. That's how I grew up.
I just want to be good again. I've stopped worrying about what other teams are doing, what Kirby's doing, what Saban's doing, what Shane Beamer's doing, what Billy Napier. Like, I don't care. I just care what Josh Heupel's doing. I care about who Tennessee's recruiting, who Tennessee's scheduling it. How the practices are going, what kind of system we're running, what kind of coaches we're hiring, how the fundraising is going, what kind of NIL campaign do we have put together? Like, control the controllables, man. Everybody else is going to be going just as hard. They want it just as badly as Tennessee does. Maybe more. And maybe that's part of the problem. And we've just made so many bad decisions around here. Hiring decisions, administrators, coaches, player personnel decisions, systems, who we're recruiting, all this stuff. That's the problem. It's all been self-inflicted. And the 2001 championship game, I keep hating to go back to it, but it was a perfect example. Tennessee was objectively better than that LSU team by any measurable standard. And they were not prepared. They didn't adjust on the fly. And in the post-mortem, they didn't go back and look and say, oh, man, like here's some things that we need to take care of. And it's just like, oh, no, it's just a fluke. We'll write it off. We'll be okay next time. No, you won't. And by the time you realized that Saban was the game changer and that was the paradigm shift, it was too late. And instead of just trying to, like, you tried to copy them. You did it twice. You hired dead branches from his coaching tree twice. It's just like, man, just dumb move after dumb move. I'm not going to go through all of them because we all lived it. We all know what they are. But good grief, man. Fix yourself. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Bear, it's too late. We already wrecked ourselves. We got to unwreck ourselves. Stay with us, folks. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Final segment of The Drive this afternoon, live from National RX. Shout out to Gravy Vol and his son Joey listening to the Linderman Sports Medicine live stream this afternoon in Paris, Tennessee. The sprawling metropolis of Paris. Are you familiar with Paris, Tennessee, Bear?
Oh, gosh. Who is it? Football player out of Paris, Tennessee. Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Mighty Henry County, who has tussled with my West Rebels a couple of times through the years.
You guys are looking good coming back this fall from what I'm hearing.
I mean, it's
over there at 3,300.
Proud football program with a lot of tradition. I would expect nothing less. Want to thank
the Admirals
for having us out here this afternoon. Appreciate them. I want to do a special shout out to Craven Wings here today. Need to mention them and their longstanding support of the show. And they wanted me to pass along some live music notes for you. They got live music every Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday. At Craven Wings tonight, Amber Foltz plays on the patio out west from 8 to 11. Tomorrow, the Electric Blues. Also, 8 to 11 p.m. at the South North Shore Drive location of Craven Wings. They got Thirsty Thursdays, $2.99 margaritas every Thursday all day. And Sundays, they have $2.99 Bloody Marys and mimosas all day long. Great.
You're right out there close to them.
It's a hop, skip, and a jump down the Pellissippi Speedway. Let's get Roger in here to wrap up the festivities this evening. So we get ready for overtime coming up next. What's up, Raj?
Oh, no, what's not much at all. I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Hey, doing well, sir. What's up?
Oh, what's not all? Russell, Russell. And Bear, I tell you what, last night, I was impressed with Tennessee last night. They really, well, I wanted to do it. I watched the game, and I tell you what, I was really impressed with. I was proud of how they would win like that. Was y'all surprised, too, how Tennessee was able to, I mean, Tennessee would come out on fire. If not really outplayed, I mean, just really 127 to 10 is really, and I was really surprised with that. Were you surprised too that Tennessee won like that?
Raj, not only was I surprised, I was, dare I say, gobsmacked.
Yeah.
We opened a can on them last night.
Yeah. Good. really good. So, how do you think Tennessee going to do? Gonna do tonight? How you think? I said then went school. I thought. How you think Tennessee gonna do tonight, Russell?
I think Tennessee probably wins tonight, Raj. My guess is that was a shocking defeat for Mississippi State, and you got to be questioning where their confidence is at. I think Chase Burns wants to. I think he's going to be fired up to perform tonight as well. So I think that Tennessee has a lot of confidence right now, and I think Mississippi State has got to be questioning where they're at after that defeat. Although I think they are going to come out and throw their best punch at Tennessee tonight as well.
Bear, how you think after Tennessee? After Tennessee won last night, you think Tennessee come out do the same thing tonight? Bear, you think they can come out on fire tonight? Or you think they can?
I mean, that's an awfully big thing to ask for. I mean, it's done. I mean, it's like a once every 50 years kind of offensive explosion, Raj. Yeah. But I'm with Russ. I'm really wanting to see. I didn't realize until Russ just said it. You know, I kind of feel like Chase Burns and Drew Beam. Really, I'm if we see both those guys this week, and I want to see how they react, because the last time we saw them, they didn't look as sharp as they had earlier in the year, and I'm hoping we can see them come back strong with good effort.
Thank you, Raj. Appreciate the phone call. Appreciate everybody who called in. Some good calls here this afternoon on the show, and that is going to wrap up another week of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Big thanks to National RX for having us out. Big thanks to Jets Pizza for feeding us. Big thanks to Jake and Marcus Young, back at, or Jake Miller and Marcus Young. They're not brothers. I said that kind of funny. Sorry, guys. Love you. Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. The Young brothers, Jake and Marcus.
Yeah. Good boys.
We got overtime headed your way next on many of these fine fan-run affiliates. And we're going to go home and get ready for Tennessee baseball. Thanks for tuning in to the program this afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great weekend. We'll do it again Monday, 3 to 6, right here on Fan Run Radio.